We're in Acts chapter 8 this morning. Acts chapter 8, let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Now Paul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution rose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So we see the early church right away after two great messages that we've read in the last couple months that we've been in the book of Acts, and came to a point where the Jews had had enough of being accused of being murderers, and the death of Stephen fueled their anger and gave them some what they thought was the upper hand. Now they were going to persecute the church, and indeed they did. But the very thing that they meant to do by persecution failed. They meant to shut the mouth of those that had recently risen to a place of fame in Jerusalem, and they wanted to kill that thing. Well, what happened was the very opposite thing. The church began to spread. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles, and we're going to see what they did when they went. They didn't keep their mouths shut, that's for sure. The Jews, as I said, were accused of murder, and they were upset. The death of Stephen had fueled their anger, and they were sent out. Jesus had told the disciples in Matthew 10:23, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. And we don't have that, I hope we don't have that to happen to us right here, that choice. And when they persecute us, we flee to another city. I hope we can hold our own. How many know persecution is here and is coming even more? I don't want to create a false sense of hope today that things are going to go away and everything's going to be okay. That's Jesus is doing all things new and He supplies for us, but it's in the midst of persecution that we're going to see greatness happen in the church. Other generations have faced it. You and I are facing it. To say that we're okay with the government and the government likes us would be not a true statement. So they suffered great loss in Stephen's death, but it brought a great leap forward for the church. We have a great, you know, as I was seeking the Lord a couple of months ago, asking Him what book to go through, because I love going through books of the Bible. It keeps us honest. And I said, Lord, what do you want us to look at? And He really laid on my heart the book of Acts, because if we can get back to the book of Acts, the premise that it was built on, and the effectiveness of what happened in that early church, we'll see a sustained change in our community. Yes, persecution will come. That's okay. We'll rise above the persecution. So far, we haven't had to flee to another city. Terry and I kind of fled from a city when we left Philadelphia, but that was a good flee. We love it. We went to Chicago Monday. Last Monday we went to Chicago and spent the afternoon there, but that was enough for me. Too many people. So we did flee that city and come back here. It was a little windy there. I had trouble keeping my hair from blowing away, but we made it. So there was a great loss in Stephen's death, but it ended up being a great thing for the church, because the body of Christ was sent out. They persecuted them in Jerusalem, and they were strewn all over the place. And there was a great cost. Saul invaded the young church. Right away, the cost of serving Christ was known. I have a feeling that with all this newness that's talked about, I've not in 35 years heard so many positive things about a year than I do 2017. I think we'll see some tremendous things in 2017. But at the same time, I don't want to throw a damper on it at all. But I want us to realize that we have an enemy that does not like success in the church. We just need to be aware of that. We need to be aware and step circumspectly walking circumspectly, not being foolish about things, but redeeming the time, for the days we live in are evil, the scripture says. My friend, that is not going to change. Right away, the cost was known to the church. If you were a believer, you were going to be persecuted. You were going to be sent out. In the next 30 or 40 years, Christians were fed to lions. Christians were crucified. Christians were set afire. They were killed. All the apostles by the end of the century lost their lives. But it was the greatest spurt growth of anything that was ever experienced. The earth was full of Christianity. So the very thing the enemy meant for destruction was turned to success. The freedoms that you and I enjoy today are not to be taken lightly, but the likelihood of them ending is real. Why? Why is the church reluctant to allow God to move powerfully? Because when God moves powerfully, it catches the attention of the enemy. And we do have an enemy. We've got a man that's left in 20 days leaving the White House and acts of hostility towards Christians. I compiled some things. Just let me read them. I don't want to be negative, but I want us to realize the annual White House Christmas cards, rather than focusing on Christmas or faith, instead highlight things such as the family dogs. The White House Christmas tree ornaments include figures such as Mao Zedong and a drag queen. May 2016, President Obama appoints a transgender to the Advisory Council on Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships, an act of overt disdain and hostility toward the traditional faith religions. September 2015, for the White House and State Department dinners, the President deliberately invites guests that he knows will be offensive to the Pope and who openly opposed his message. But he and the State Department very carefully avoid inviting guests that oppose or would offend the dictators of countries such as Cuba and China. June 2013, the Obama Department of Justice defunds a young Marines chapter in Louisiana because their oath mentioned God, and another youth program because it permits a voluntary student-led prayer. February 2013, the Obama administration announces that the rights of religious conscience for individuals will not be protected under the Affordable Care Act. January 2013, Pastor Louis Giglio is pressured to remove himself from praying at the inauguration after it is discovered he once preached a sermon supporting the biblical definition of marriage. February 2012, the Obama administration forgives student loans in exchange for public service, but announces it will no longer forgive student loans if the public service is related to religion. January 2012, the Obama administration argues that the First Amendment provides no protection for churches and synagogues in hiring their pastors and rabbis. December 2011, the Obama administration denigrates other countries' religious beliefs as an obstacle to radical homosexual rights. November 2011, President Obama opposes inclusion of President Franklin Roosevelt's famous D-Day prayer in the World War II memorial. November 2011, unlike previous presidents, Obama studiously avoids any religious references in his Thanksgiving speech. August 2011, the Obama administration releases its new health care rules that override religious conscience protections for medical workers in the areas of abortion and contraception. August 2011, for the first time in American history, Obama urges passage of a non-discrimination law that does not contain hiring protections for religious groups, forcing religious organizations to hire according to federal mandates without regard to the dictates of their own faith. thus eliminating conscious protection in hiring. February 2011, although he filled posts in the State Department for more than 2 years, Obama did not fill the post of Religious Freedom Ambassador until he was pressured from the public and from Congress. January 2011, after a federal law was passed to transfer a World War I memorial in the Mojave Desert to private ownership, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the cross in the memorial could continue to stand, but the Obama administration refused to allow the land to be transferred as required by law and refused to allow the cross to be re-erected as ordered by the court. Obama misquotes the national motto in November 2010, saying it is E Pluribus Unum, rather than In God We Trust as established by federal law. October 19, 2010, Obama begins deliberately omitting the phrase about the Creator when quoting the Declaration of Independence, an omission he has made on no less than 7 occasions. May 2009, Obama declines to host services for the National Prayer Day, a day established by federal law at the White House. April 2009, when speaking at Georgetown University, Obama orders that a monogram symbolizing Jesus' name be covered when he is making his speech. My friends, we have had 8 years of anti-Christian behavior coming from our White House. And we say in 20 days it's going to end, but let me tell you, the effect is going to go on. We can't expect that one man is going to change things immediately. But within that framework, we need to realize that the same God that caused the church to grow in the midst of persecution will continue to do the same thing in 2017. This is not something that surprised our Lord. Our Lord has made and created things and created opportunities for us to win over the persecution that we face. Of course, we've talked about from this pulpit many times about our brothers and sisters that are suffering untold, being burned alive. Just last week, people burned alive in Pakistan for their faith. Persecution is only causing the enemy to lose and the Lord to gain. The death of Stephen was a terrible thing. The death of the martyrs is a terrible thing. But thousands are being swept into the kingdom. We need to have a look towards the eternal process of God, not just the temporal. Dying is not such a bad thing with the reward that waits for us. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, dying ain't so bad. So the church began to preach. Let's look in verse 8 or verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Wow. Everywhere preaching the word. And that's what we need to do. We need to set forth this first day of the month, first day of the year, first day of the week. We need to purpose in our hearts that we're going to preach the word wherever we go. I'm not saying that we need to carry our Bibles and call attention at lunchtime, at work, or on the streets. We just need to talk about Jesus wherever we go. Amen. We need to act like we're Christians. Right. So that people have no question who we serve. Amen. That's preaching the word. Come on, somebody. Amen. And we'll see lives change. The effectiveness of our influence here in this community will grow if we purpose in our hearts just to show up to meetings that we heretofore. I encourage, if you have children in school, go to PTA meetings. If there's a city council meeting, go to a city council meeting. Act like you're interested in what's happening in the community. Volunteer for something. Show up. Come on, someone. Just show up. That's all you need to do. God will tell you what to do after that. So I ask this question, why is the church reluctant to allow God to move powerfully? Because when God moves powerfully, attention is drawn to the church. Now, other attention has come to the church in the last decade and we've lost ground. And that is, we've compromised so we don't sound so bad. We sound pretty good. Church is a pretty good place to go. They say we're going to heaven and we don't have to do anything to get there. That's not the kind of popularity I'm talking about. I'm talking about preaching the word. Watch what Philip did. Philip, another deacon. I wonder if he thought about what happened to Stephen. Philip, another deacon, there in verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Two things that I thought about when I read this. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. They were unclean people. They weren't even supposed to be near them. But he was sent by the Holy Spirit. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now I want you to see what happened. He not only spoke, there were miracles that happened as a result of his obedience. For unclean spirits, verse 7, crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. Many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. I am glad that Philip got rid of all the demons in chapter 8 of Acts, so we don't have to deal with them anymore. He took care of it. We in 2017 don't have to deal with demons. We just have to deal with cantankerous people that don't want to accept our way of life. No, we fight an enemy. There are more demon-possessed people in our community than there's ever been. Open your eyes, walk around, see people possessed by spirits. We need to take authority over those things. It's called addiction. No, it's not addiction, it's possession. Anybody who would do those things to their bodies and live that kind of lifestyle is not in their right mind. They've been taken over by a spirit. We need to take authority over it. Not a sickness, it's a demon. That's not popular though. You know, we have places that we send people for things like that. Back in the, you know, out of sight. But I really believe that God has mandated New Life Church to be a church to receive the prodigals. And the prodigals are going to come back with baggage. And we're going to have to speak to the baggage. We're going to have to speak to the demonic. The mandate of the church is to preach. By word. By word, we've got to preach the word of the Lord. The mandate of you and I is to preach by action. You watch, when you take authority over a spirit, when you take authority over an action that's happening in our community, you watch how God will back you up. First time it ever happened to me, I was preaching in Dallas, Texas. Street preaching. And out of a bar runs a guy and just starts to, I don't want to get, nobody's eating right now, right? Just, it looked like The Exorcist, green stuff coming out of his mouth. And I was standing in front of the bar preaching. I didn't call out his name, but he came out. He was a third year Bible school student in a homosexual bar. Anybody there? Assembly of God, college, third year student, heard the word of the Lord being preached and came out and just started, the demons started coming out even before he got outside. By the time I got over and laid hands on him, he was delivered and weeping and repenting. By action, see? You're not going to get a pat on the back, but you get the captive set free. It doesn't look like the government is going to back us up. We're going to have to go on our own. We're going to have to do it on our own. See? Not only by action, but by deeds. We need to serve people. We need to love people. We need to understand that they are broken. We've got broken people. We've got broken people that have left the church. We've got the broken prodigal that wants to come back, and we dare not condemn them or chastise them or shake our finger in their face. We just need to love them by deeds And fourthly, by miracles. Watch what the Scripture says. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and they heeded because they saw miracles. And you say, well, that guy, it was Philip. He was a deacon, for Pete's sakes. He wiped tables. The persecution happened and he went out. There's not one person in this room is disqualified from being used of God. I don't care how old you are. You're not disqualified. I don't care how young you are. You're not disqualified. God wants to use you. That's the only way He's going to get it done. He's not going to do it on His own. Wow. He's not going to do it on His own. We have the Word part down. Pretty much taken care of. Word of God's being preached all over this area right now. At this time, the 10 o'clock hour, the 11 o'clock hour, there's the Word of God's being preached. We're absolutely saturated with the Word of God. By the way, on the fourth Sunday, 7:30 in the morning, encourage people to tune in. We share the fourth Sunday at 7:30 in WROI. The Word of God's going out there. We need to remind people to tune in. Come on, somebody. So we've got the Word down. We've got that taken care of. But our actions, deeds, and miracles are a little harder to come by. And I challenge you that that would change this year in 2017. That we'd see miracles outside this hall, outside this building, that we'd see miracles take place all over Fulton County. Someone needs to step up, and I believe New Life is it. I believe we need to believe that miracles will happen. Miracles are going to happen right here today. Just in a few minutes, miracles are going to happen right here today. This is God. Let God be God. We're going to let God out of the box. We're going to see miracles happen. Come on, somebody. Right here, right now. First day of the month, first day of the week, first day of the year, or see some changes. What's it going to take for us as New Life, as a group of people that join together once or twice a week, every week? What's it going to take? I believe, number one, it's going to take a fresh hunger. Develop a taste for the miraculous. Believe God to work miracles. That's who He is. When God shows up, the miraculous happen. That's His character. He doesn't move within the confines of the temporal world. Come on, someone. He's supernaturally natural. We need to develop a fresh hunger and develop a taste for the miraculous. Secondly, we need a fresh faith. We need to develop a reliance on the move of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to pray when you come on your way in, after you get done fighting about what time you're going to get in the car won't start, it's cold outside, will you scrape the windows? After you get done with all that, on your way in here, pray that the miraculous would happen inside these walls. Come on, somebody. How many find stress on Sunday morning when you're getting ready to come to church? Come on, raise your hand, look around. How many find stress on Sunday morning? You think that's by accident? No, the enemy wants to discombobulate you. Get you upset, tense, tired. Why is it Sunday morning we're so tired? We can't, you know, get ourselves up and get in here by 9:30. But Monday through Friday, when work starts at 8, we're there. Do you ever think about that? Why is it so hard for me? Church is boring. No, the enemy doesn't want you to come and get filled and get healed and get touched and touch others. Get our gas tank filled up. We need a fresh face. Thirdly, we need a fresh habit. Develop a character that yields to the unction of the Holy Spirit. Just like you go through the checklist of items when you leave the house, when you leave the house to go to work, go through the checklist. God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to listen to today? What do you want me to hear today? Who do you want me to talk to today? Get a fresh habit of being used by the Holy Spirit every day of every week of every month of this year. Come on, someone. It can happen. It will happen. God wants to use each and every one of us. A fresh habit. Fourthly, a fresh outlook. Develop an expectancy of the move of God. Expect God to move. Make that the normal. Instead of being amazed when God moves, make it normal. Of course God moved. Of course somebody got up out of a wheelchair. Of course somebody got healed. Of course somebody got saved. That's what we do. Persecution happened and the Christians left and they went everywhere preaching the word. Of course that's what we do. We're Christians. Today we're Christians, you know. Of course we're Christians. We go to church on Sunday morning. What's changed? From 168 hours to 3 hours. We give all the 165 to the rest of the world and 3 hours to the Lord. I'm talking about everybody that's not here today. Not us. A fresh compassion. Develop a caring attitude toward our fellow man. We need to start looking at men and women differently. Because without Christ, they're hopeless. No matter how good they look, what kind of car they drive, how happy they seem, when they breathe their last, that's it. They're going to hell. A Christless eternity. Forever separate from God. I don't want that for anybody. I don't even want that for President Obama to turn to somebody and say amen. Man, we need to have a fresh compassion for people. As I said before, deliverance must take place. When healing was mentioned in the ministry of Philip, it said demons cried out. Right there. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. Can you imagine? Jesus preached the gospel. He healed the sick and he cast out demons. Three things. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the main three things that he did every day of his life was he preached the gospel, healed the sick, and cast out demons. We've got preaching the gospel down. Healing the sick, not so much. Casting out of demons, that was all taken care of in the first century. A full third of Jesus' ministry was coming against the enemy. We've got to get back to deliverance. Some people sitting in this room right now, you need to have a spirit cast out of you. You've fought it. You can't get over the habit. You can't get over the sin. So I'm a Christian. I don't have trouble with spirits. Yes, you do. You're a three-part person sitting there. Your spirit's filled with God. Nobody can get it. You can't be possessed by the evil spirits. But you've got a mind, will, and emotions that left unchecked is the devil's playground. And he'll possess parts of your life. We've relegated deliverance to Africa and the first century church. And let me tell you, deliverance is a ministry that needs to come back to the church. We need to take authority over those things. Sometimes you have physical problems in your body because of a spirit. This thought that the enemy's taken, you know, a vacation, that he's not as bad as he was first century. You better think again. Today it's overlooked and even denied. For Pete's sakes, we build whole programs around behavior modification. We'll change your behavior. Here, and then we put a Christian name on it. We take people and we say, we'll go there a year and just modify your behavior. And people come out of those programs and months or weeks or a year later, they're going back doing the same thing. Why? Because the spirit was never taken care of. Spirit doesn't want to leave that home. Spirit wants to stay there because it knows that its leads, it's got to be somewhere. If it's cast into the dry places, it no longer exists. So it will do everything it can to stay in the body. Hide. Look good. Even say Jesus. The enemy has great power, but he doesn't have greater power than our Lord. Back in Acts 8, verse 9, it says, "But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is a great power of God.' And they hated him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon," verse 13, "himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." I want you to see something. I want you to see that Simon witnessed miracles, people being healed, and he was amazed. But when the baptism of the Spirit happened, he wanted to pay money for it. Blind eyes being opened and people getting up out of sick beds, he was amazed. He was amazed, Scripture says, when he saw miracles and signs. But when the baptism of the Spirit happened, and the evidence of that being tongues, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Peter saw some spirits in him, and Peter answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me." Or Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Simon was a sorcerer that was so prolific in that time. If you read the works of Josephus, Simon, the sorcerer, was a person that made things levitate, was able to disappear and reappear, did all sorts and sorts of things. His power was so great they called him the power of God in that area. And all it took was a few disciples to dethrone him. Come on, someone. The great power of God. No, he wasn't the great power of God. He was the great power of the enemy. And it's everywhere right now. False religions are everywhere right now. As the power of God strengthens, there'll be a rise of the demonic and the divisive right here in our community. Why? Because the enemy does not want to see success. Beware that there is another gospel being preached, even now. And it seems valid. Remember, deception carries an anointing. Anything or anyone that negates the power of God and the working of miracles is an enemy of the cross, period. Let me say it again. Anything or anyone that negates the power of God, the working of miracles, the casting out of demons, that says that's not happening in the day, they're an enemy of the cross. They're not just deceived. If they're preaching it, they're an enemy of the cross. They've set their sight, they've set themselves on an opposite side of the Lord. And it's happening right in our communities. People that relegate the power of God to the enemy. How ridiculous. But how deceptive the enemy can be. I struggled with it for just a moment years ago, and I've never looked back. As a young man, I went to India in 1988. climbed off the plane, and for the next 2.5 weeks had everything in my belief system shaken to its core. Saw demons cast out by the dozens. I was called the demon chaser 2.5 weeks later. The crew I was with bought me a hat that said demon chaser on it. I had it for years. Threw people down. Cast demons out. Saw demons go into dogs. In a village. Saw the elders of that village, Hindu and Muslim, get saved because of that. Saw demons come out of people and go into the dogs. Gave their heart to Christ right then. The one Muslim elder was healed. He was blind in one eye and God healed him immediately. He started glorifying God immediately. Saw signs and wonders and miracles every day. It was just a normal thing. It just threw... My gosh, graduated from Pentecostal college. I mean, believed I saw healings here and there, and there were some miraculous things that happened, but never on the scale which I saw. I saw things, I saw blind eyes open in front of me, I saw people get out of wheelchairs and carry their wheelchairs away or carry their beds away, just like in Scripture. Nobody even near them. Just in the atmosphere of the Word being preached, people getting up and getting healed. Come on, somebody. Brushing my teeth one day and somebody came by, was blind, with a mouthful of toothpaste, laid hands on them, they were healed, they went on, I finished brushing my teeth. True story. Made a film. Came back and showed the film once. Somebody took the film and taped over it. On the way back in the plane, I had a 16-hour ride back in the plane. I struggled with the enemy attack me. I struggled with it and said, I never saw that. It was all false. It was all put on. I struggled with that. Went to the bathroom, threw up, did all kinds of things. Said, God, I know what I saw, but the logic said that it didn't happen. And I had to fight through that. And that's exactly what will happen. And that's why the church, I posed that question just a few minutes ago, why the church doesn't want to move into miraculous is because when it does, all kinds of things happen. The enemy unleashes and tries to tell us that it's not so, that God's not doing that today. That somehow when we move into miraculous, we got to get weird. If you're going to move into miraculous, you got to be weird. You got to walk around with a big King James Bible and talk in King James English. If you're going to, no, God just wants to invade our normal lives and see it become normal in our community. The power of God, normal. The casting out of demons, normal. The healing, normal. People being saved and being swept into the kingdom, normal. Not abnormal, not something that happens because God wanted to do something miraculous, draw attention to Himself. Anyone that says the power to heal and deliver is demonic, is in danger of apostasy. Stay away from them. Apostasy means they're totally against everything God stands for. Apostate. What remains for us to do? Stay sweet. Don't get caught up in it. Don't try to preach against that kind of thing. Just to warn people to stay away from it, but stay sweet. Don't enter into strife and arguments. Useless wrangling is a sin. Don't argue about it, just do it. It's hard to argue with the results. If people are being healed, it's hard to argue that, well, God doesn't heal. Well, and if you're going to relegate that to the enemy, you need to go see Midwest Eyes. The deception will be strong in the church in these last days. The truth will be challenged. It already is. We've actually got Christians saying that God doesn't heal. What? What Bible are you reading? Is it the Reader's Digest version? I mean, come on. What do you mean God doesn't heal? The Scriptures will be interpreted privately, and they are. Paul warns us, it says that no Scripture is for private interpretation. If the Scripture says that this is who God is that way all the time. Wasn't God manifest in power and anointing for 100 years and then said, I'm done. Temptation to give in to the worldly is very, very strong right now in the church. We've made so many compromises, it's hard to find the real Christian. We've made so many compromises. Come on, somebody. Some of the most powerful churches in our country are enemies of the cross. Enemies of the cross. We can't even make excuses for them anymore. We just need to stay away from them. Come on, somebody. First day, first month. Baptism of the Spirit will be sought after and persecuted. I encourage you, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Activate the gifts of the Spirit in your life. The power of God to discern, deliver, and depose will be great. The attacks of the enemy will grow in intensity, but it's okay. The same thing that happened in the early church is going to happen at the last church, but that's okay, because persecution will do the opposite of what the enemy wants. Thousands will be swept into the kingdom, and it's okay. It's going to be all right. Many will seek after the fullness, and many will attempt to control it in these last days. Try to build kingdoms out of it. But we're not going to do that, see? We're just going to see people set free and send them out to set others free. Philip couldn't stop himself, man. He just had to do what God told him to do here in verse 26. Look what it says. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. He arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. First miracle, he runs as fast as a chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Second miracle, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. A complete coincidence that he was in that passage of scripture. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? So the eunuch answered Philip and asked, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He preached Jesus to him, even to tell him, if you're saved, you need to be baptized. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. Caught the bus. Third miracle. This is a deacon. Couldn't help himself. Preached Jesus. What did he know about Jesus? He wasn't raised as a Levite. He wasn't raised. What did he know about Jesus? He knew because the Holy Spirit used him. You say, well, I don't have the wherewithal. I don't have the basis. I don't remember things. I can't point to scriptures. Just trust God. Who do you think God is? Who do you think God is? He'll give you things to say, and you say, where'd that come from? Don't bother with it. Just speak it. How can I preach Jesus? Just open your mouth. You've been in church long enough. You'll say things that amaze you. I know some of you already know what I'm speaking of. Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Our obedience should be immediate. When we hear, we should obey. And if you have any faith in leadership here at the church, if you have any faith in casting a vision and seeking of the Lord in leadership, let us move as a church that is looking for the miraculous, calling the prodigals back. I believe that this is a prodigal receiving church. Last night in our prayer time, we prayed in the new year. The Lord said, we looked at that passage that talks about the prodigal, and the Father said, bring the best robe. Not just a robe, but the best robe. And put it on my son. Shoes for his feet. The best robe. And the Lord spoke to us and said, I've reserved the best robes for the prodigals. And when they come back, we must wait on the Lord and not get jealous, because there'll be those that'll come back that'll turn this community upside down with the power of God. And we'll say, God, we've been here faithfully serving you all this while, and you give him the best robe and her the best robe and the sandals and the ring. The ring that was given him was a signet ring. When the Father gave it to him, it was wherever he went and people saw that ring, the power and the authority of the Father was his again. Not the older son, the younger son. So when the prodigal comes back, it's going to be tough. But God's going to use them in a powerful way. If you have any faith in what's happening here at this church, I'm telling you, we're turning. If we continue to do what we did all the time, we'll get what we got all the time. We need to break into new things, new areas. We're getting ready just in a few minutes to have the elders come with their wives and lay hands on you. The things that you need to get correct in your life, the things that you need healed in your life, you need your body healed, you need your finances taken care of. Let's do it on the first day of the first month of the first of the year. Let's set ourselves looking towards God's purposes and sending us out to preach the Word. Only when we fully yield ourselves will the power be available to us. The temptation is to make something happen. Don't worry about making something happen. Something will happen whether you want to or not. If you make yourself available to God, God will give you divine appointments all the time. You don't need to make it happen. You don't need to say, God, I'm going to go this way and hope you win. God will show you. I was telling the story. I don't know if I told it before. I was telling the story about the guy that was seeking the Lord, wanted to be used of God. He said, God, I just want to be used. And the Holy Spirit told him to get down to the gas station and stand on your head by one of the pumps. Did I tell this story before? So he continued to pray. I couldn't do that. I asked to be used, not to be a fool. God said, go down in the gas station and stand by one of the pumps and stand on your head. And so after a while, he said, well, I just can't get it out of my head. I'm going to do it. So he drove down the gas station, stood on his head. No sooner did he get on his head, he heard his car go, pull over. Person got out, came over and said, I can't believe it. I was just driving down the road and said, God, if you're real, if this is you, I want someone to be standing on their head right there at this gas station by the gas pumps. Gave his heart to the Lord right there. You can't make this stuff up. Just listen to God. If God tells you to do it, do it. Make sure it's God now, because boy, that would have been... If that story had ended up the other way, we'd have never heard it, would we? The temptation will be there to manipulate the situation. Don't try to manipulate. That's why we don't do things. We think that something's got to happen. We've got to make things happen or manipulate. Just be yielding to the Lord. When we come up for prayer this morning, just yield to the Lord. Lord, use me in my little sphere of influence. And watch what He does. The only way to do it is to do it. Step out on faith. If you miss God, do it again. God will catch you if you fall. If you make a, you know, if you just go, just step out and watch how God will use you. You'd be surprised what reserve you already have in you from sitting under the Word for so long. It just oozes out of you. You just need to let God be God. Practice hearing His voice. Lately, I've just been spending time quietly listening for the voice of the Lord. I don't want to, He's not impressed with all my pompous words. Sometimes we think we're going to impress God and move Him emotionally. God, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, man. I love you. You are great. You sit on the throne. He already knows all of that. Just be quiet and let the Lord use you. Speak to you. And let the results up to God. Let the results up to God. Our calling is to obey. God has a goal set and it'll happen. We do not know if our obedience will win souls or expose sin and destructive heresies. We don't know what our obedience will do, but that's not up to us. We just need to obey. God never asks us to obey and then take responsibility for the outcome. Pete said, Stephen preached and he was stoned. Maybe the first question he had for Jesus when he got there, he goes, what did I say wrong? Just do what God called you to do. Just get what He's telling you to do. Just do it and let the results up to Him. It'll be okay. Lastly, stay with the Word. Any deviation from it opens a door for the false. Philip began with the Scripture and he preached Jesus. Stay with the Word of God. Don't stay with ideas. Ideas are just that, they're ideas. Manipulating something. Don't try to manipulate, just preach the Word. The good news of the kingdom must be correctly presented. Entertaining shortcuts or exceptions is welcoming and demonic, so we just stay with the Word. Trust God that He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. Look what happened in Acts 8. Man, everywhere they went, preached. And then we just get a microscope. He could have microscoped into anybody. But the Holy Spirit let us see that Philip was used in a powerful way. A deacon was used in a powerful way. We're coming up on Acts 9. A tremendous thing happened. You know, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, the light of the glory of God shone and it blinded him. And Jesus appeared to him and he says, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. He didn't even know who he was. Here's a great religious man, didn't even know who Jesus was. And then he appeared to him and he said, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. It's hard to kick against the goads. And I thought about that when I read that, because I'm reading ahead a little bit, of course. I thought about that when I read that and I said, well, Jesus, why didn't you just heal him? Why didn't you just walk over and heal him? And then it occurred to me that in the 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't do one miracle. He didn't lay hands on any blind eyes. Nobody got out of sick beds. He just equipped the apostles. Why? Because his work on earth was done. He relegated the authority to the apostles and the disciples. He spoke to a guy named Ananias, a guy we never heard of. The other guy named Ananias, we don't want to be like him. The other guy like Ananias died a few chapters ago. God calls Ananias a second time. When you read that first, you go, oh no, here we go again. Says, Ananias, get up and go to a street called Straight. There's a man named Saul. He's had a vision of you coming in. Lay hands on him and tell him how much you must suffer for my sake. And Ananias goes, man, what are you talking about? That guy's killing Christians. I ain't going there. And the Lord says, I've sent you, go. And he goes. We never hear of Ananias before. We never hear of him afterwards. God used an unknown man to speak to Paul, lay hands on him, scales fell from his eyes. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit and saved and went out preaching Jesus immediately. God has given His authority to you. Jesus, just show up and win souls in Fulton County. Just make the clouds move and stuff. No, He's never going to do that. He uses you and me. The Ananiases of the day are sitting right here in this room. When God speaks to you and say, go, who knows? You open your refrigerator and God says, go for milk. Lord, I already got a gallon of milk. I told you to go for milk. Go to milk, go to Kroger's and lead somebody to Christ. Who knows what will happen? Let's move into the new. It's a great excuse to move into the new. To go out into the deep. Come on, somebody. So I want the elders to come with their wives. Come as we prepare. Somebody come up and play some worship or play worship up there, whatever you want to do. Elders and your wives, please come. And what we're going to do is, here's what's going to happen. You're just going to come up and get prayer, whatever you need, physically, spiritually, mentally, to set your heart right in this year. This is a great time to just leave all the things, cast all your cares on God today. When you leave here, you say, God, I'm ready to be used of you. So let us pray and then just come. Just come. We're going to take some time. Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. God, we unburden ourselves this morning. Father, we just come. Lord, we ask for the miraculous to happen this morning. Lord, we ask for people to be healed in their bodies. Lord, finances would come into place, oh Father. Lord, marriages would be touched, oh God. Lord, we want to leave here without any needs, God. All needs be taken care of today. God, if we're going to be a church of the miraculous, let it happen now in Jesus' name. Let it happen now in Jesus' name. Let miracles come forth, God. We speak it, Father. We obey Your word. You said to call for the elders of the church. We've done so, Father. We expect, God, meet and exceed our expectations according to Your loving kindness and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. As we worship, come, please.